Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater and your moderator for today. Today is Wednesday, July the 24th, 2024. We're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism, page 34, the second paragraph. For those who are unable to drink moderately, through one paragraph ending, no matter how great the necessity or wish. Today's readers are Steps, Toby K., 12 Traditions, Susan G., and readers of the text are Larry K. and Vanessa G. The share ID for Tuesday, July 23rd, the 7 a.m. meeting is 21593, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 21594. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Toby K. is going to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Toby. Toby, please press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, thank you. It's Toby K. from Long Island, New York. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over compulsive overeating, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 11, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Toby K. And Susan G. is going to read the 12 traditions. Welcome, Susan.
Oh, thanks, Lynn. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Susan G., a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are: 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be brought into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me give service, and I pass.
Thank you, Susan G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 34, the second paragraph. For those who are unable to drink moderately, reading through down to no matter how great the necessity or wish, and sharing on that one paragraph only. So Vanessa G., could you get us started, please? Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you, Lynn. Hi, everyone. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. For those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. We are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power to choose whether he will drink or not. Many of us felt we had plenty of character. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever, yet we found it impossible. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism as we know it, this utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. So, I grew up, for probably, I don't know, maybe the first 30 years of my life, not ever eating moderately. I didn't know I just grew up in a family where we didn't eat moderately. We either ate to our heart's, desire or, overate and or restricted. There was always this cycle of eating and then dieting and eating and dieting. And I thought that's how you managed weight. And I pursued that for, the first 30 years of my life until I got to OA. And then in OA, I found this idea of eating moderately, and still I would tell you that I was trying to do this moderate eating on a spiritual basis, but in looking back, I realized that I still maintain that diet mentality, that idea that I could stop eating, overeating. I could stop overeating. And it wasn't, I think, until I really got down to the very bottom of myself, of my ability to leave it alone, until I really recognized that I did have the utter inability to leave it alone, that I realized that I was really going to die this way. I was going to die in the food. Food is a baffling, baffling, baffling adversary to me. And even in recovery, I'm constantly, finding things, new behaviors that, pop up, or new allergies that pop up to certain foods. It is a much harder addiction, I think, than many, because it just comes to us in so many different forms. And so it's baffling, and I'm totally powerless in the face of it. The only way that I have found is to totally and completely give myself to God and to this program, to be surrounded by fellows who have found an answer, who have found a solution. This is a very, very powerful disease, a very baffling disease. And it has taken me a long time to really get to the place where I recognize my utter inability to leave it alone, to eat moderately, and just not pick up. I'm grateful. I'm really grateful that I've been able to, stick to this program, stick with you people, and stick with my God. And I appreciate the opportunity to share this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa G. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you share it on Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please, say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Gloria.
Joanne C.
Melissa C.
Okay, sorry, guys. Let me tell you that the only two people I heard clearly were Pedro and Melissa C. Who else said their name, please?
Savoria.
Robin C. in Costa Rica.
Jennifer C.
in New York.
Okay, let me tell you again, I'm sorry, I'm really having a tough time this morning. I've got Pedro, Melissa C., Jennifer C., Robin P., and somebody from New York. Who was that, please?
Joanne B. from New York.
Joanne B. Okay, now who did I miss out of that lineup?
Elise N. Savory F.
I'm sorry, I can't get your name. Somebody S.
Devory.
Okay, everybody, I've got a lineup now. Thank you so much. I've got Pedro, Melissa C., Jennifer C., Robin P., Joanne B., Elisa N., and Devory S. And when you share, please give us where you're calling from so people can find you on the list. Good morning, Pedro. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, Pedro. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Pedro B. I am a compulsive overeater, and I live in San Bernardino, California. For those who aren't able to drink moderately, eat moderately, yes, that's me. I can't, I am a compulsive overeater. I thought that eating to my heart's content was normal. You know, I never, this idea of modern eating is was non-existent for me, right? Now that, you know, that I'm in this program, I'm trying to eat moderately on a daily basis and not overeat. But I found that, you know, my problem is, you know, just like it says, this inability. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism, as we know it. The utterly inability to leave it alone, to not overeat, right? My inability, I have not been able to do this program on my own. I realized that it's only through faith in this power that I might have a chance, because obviously I have been trying for years to stay stopped, because that's my problem. My inability to stay stopped. I can get abstinent for a minute, for 15 minutes, but eventually I overeat again, and I have not been able to do it. And so my problem is my self-will. I think I can do this thing, and I cannot. I need God's help, like it says in the big book. But I'm really grateful that a day at a time, you know, I know what it looks like. I know that I am responsible to follow my food plan and my action plan today. If I do that today, I am 100% successful in Overeaters Anonymous. One day at a time, I can abstain. I can abstain from overeating, you know, and I'm really grateful for that. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you, Lady Misha.
Thank you, Pedro B. from California. And next up, we have Melissa C. from New York. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Thanks for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I look at this paragraph and, you know, the first part is we assume that the reader desires to stop, you know, and that's a pretty big assumption, you know, that you come to this point where you say, you know what, can't do this moderately. I'm done trying to moderate and control, and now I just want to stop it for good. And that for me took years to reach that point. And yet once I reached that point, that even wasn't enough, recognizing that I can't moderate, you know, that took a lot of pain, that took a lot of trying. And then I reached this point where it's like, okay, I can't moderate, and I do want to stop, and I don't want to eat this way. And here's what really differentiates us from other people, is that you can have great character. You can have a great urge to not do this, and yet no matter how great you need to stop, no matter how much you want to stop, there's an inability to stop. And that, to me, is the defining characteristic of what it really means to be an addict, that you can have knowledge and you can have desire, and yet I can't live within the boundaries of my own desire and my own knowledge. Because, you know, what happens to me if I'm living on a non-spiritual basis is my mind changes all of a sudden. It decides, or it makes me believe that I'm in control and saying, I don't want this anymore. You know, that's what would happen to me, that I would reach a point in abstinence, in working this program, where I would suddenly feel like, I don't want to be abstinent anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. It's too much. The work is too much. And that would happen to me, you know, countless times. And how do you fight that? Well, you don't. That's where the only solution is a spiritual basis, where I could not be the same person I was before. I needed to have a whole new me, and I couldn't do it on my own. I had to actually have God's power to come in and change me, so that it doesn't matter how much character I have, it doesn't matter how great my desire is. What happens is when you have a relationship with God through the working of these 12 steps, I don't fight this anymore, because what I want is different today. And that's the real gift of what it means to be recovered. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. from New York. And next we have Jennifer C. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Jennifer C., Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you all for being here this morning. For those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. Not just how to stop, right? Because the number one lie of my disease is you can get back on track. Like a day or two, no big deal, you'll get back on track. Because look how many times you've gotten back on track already, right? You play around with the food for a few days, you get back on track. And see, my disease tells me lies, but it tells me half-truths as lies as well. And so I was getting back on track, right? I was getting back on track, but really what I was ultimately was in a state of relapse. The on-again, off-again, on-again, off-again, on-again, off-again means that I'm in my disease, the disease cycle, right? Where I make these resolutions and I get motivated again. Okay, this time I'm done. I'm done for good this time, right? Yeah, right. I'm done until I'm not. And so the stopping altogether is where I need the power of God to save me, and only the power of God can. This book, this program is all about relationship with power. If anyone tells you anything other than that, that this is about your relationship with God one day at a time and that God is your power source, they're changing the words in the big book, right? We're developing a relationship with power. And anything other than that relationship with God is not what this big book is telling me that my whole recovery is based on. So the power of choice. I remember when I knew that I just didn't have the choice anymore to go back out and to use food to cope. It was off the table. And that was a miracle when that happened in my brain, because once it's not an option, it becomes not a problem anymore. How does it become not an option? God removes it as an option. And so through this work, through the power of God, one day at a time, picking up the food is no longer an option. And that's the only way I can stay clean, is when it's no longer an option for me, one day at a time. So keep doing the work. Keep pursuing your relationship with God through the work of these steps, through humility, through surrender, and through really putting all your eggs in one basket. And that is, God wants to save you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Lisa C. from South Carolina. Next, we have Robin P. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. I think someone's unmuted. If you could just check your mute status, that'd be great. Thank you. That was my dilemma for the entire time that I was using the food and trying to make food my God. And then there was a tremendous urge to cease forever. I tried everything possible, literally everything I ever heard about, I tried that I thought could help me, and none of it helped me. I'm just hearing some background noise, so if anyone could just check your mute status. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism or compulsive overeating. You know, that I would, even when I would stop several times and then I would start again out of the blue. It was like Russian roulette. I never knew. And I was a low bottom bulimic. I never knew I would be fine. And then all of a sudden I wasn't, and I couldn't figure out why. And it's such a miracle of grace and this recovery and working the 12 steps and being of service to God and my fellows for the past 8.5 years that I have never been struck, you know, binging. And I'm so eternally grateful for vision, because vision turned my life around. and in talking about, you know, living in that fourth dimension, it's just, it's not even the same world. You know, I didn't show up for things. I canceled. I isolated. I only had food and my apartment, you know, and in New York City. And now, I, you know, here I am looking over the ocean, the mountains. We have these two rescue dogs who adopted us. We have so many friends. We're social every day. I used to literally be alone. We have so many friends that it's astonishing to me. I think, oh my gosh, how did this happen? Because I show up for my life today.
We lost you there, Robin. Okay, it seems like we've lost Robin P. from Costa Rica. And the person who shared before Robin P. was Jennifer C. from South Carolina. My apologies. Anyway, next up we have Joanne B. from New York. Good morning, Joanne. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. This is Joanne B. and I'm from New York. So in my big book on this page, I have underlined in the paragraph before, though you may be able to stop for a considerable period, you may yet be a potential compulsive overeater. And back in 2004, I was diagnosed with a condition and I needed to change my diet. I needed to get rid of all the alcoholic foods in my diet, and I was able to maintain that for a couple years until 2006 when I became pregnant with my twin boys. During that entire time, I can remember being so focused on how hungry I was and how much I missed the food. And all of this was so hard for two entire years. My main focus was just on my own discomfort and the fact that I had to follow this diet. And then in 2006, when I was released from that medical situation, I went back to the food with a vengeance. And I ate and ate and ruined my health again. And it wasn't until 2022, sitting on a couch on Halloween, when I just could not stop eating candy. And my kids were out trick-or-treating and I was manning the door. And I was praying, I'm like, why can't I stop? Why can't I stop? And by the grace of God, I was led to OA, to this meeting, and read the big book with food in mind. And through practicing these steps, I am abstinent, eating a diet with no alcoholic foods in it, weighed and measured, and my focus is on other people and on my higher power, and that is a true gift. Without this program, I could not follow any kind of a food plan without thinking about myself all the time. And now, thanks to working the steps, I'm able to keep my mind, or I don't keep my mind, my higher power keeps my mind on my higher power and serving others. I have a true life today, and I'm so grateful for that bottom that I hit that made me want to stop and maybe made me want to seek a solution. And I'm so grateful to everybody who gets on this line and shares, because I've learned so much from you. And for the newcomers, please just keep coming back, get a sponsor, work the steps, read the big book. It's all here. There's a new life waiting for you. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne B. from New York. And next up is Elisa N. Good morning, Elisa.
Hi, good morning. This is Elise from Passaic right now for the summer. You know, reaching the stage where I couldn't eat without God's help. I think I reached that stage at age 5. I went to a friend's house across the street, and we were drinking a sweet, chocolate milk, and I just didn't stop. I didn't seem to have a very young age, and even during birthday parties, I would be contemplating my second piece before the first, on my birthday. And I just, seemed to always want the food. And I went through years, even in Kroger, after 6 years of being at 125 pounds at my goal weight, I then gave a qualification, lost my abstinence, and went through years of back and forth relapse. And I'm only 5'5", and I went up to, like 290 pounds. And thank God for today, I've lost 90 pounds or more. And I came back into these rooms because somebody from Vision called me. She heard me on the meeting, and she saw that I sounded desperate. And she said, "Are you done?" And I said, "Yes." And then she said, "Well, then I can help you." And she's been sponsoring me ever since. When I put down the food, I went into a depression, looking at my life like, the tornado went through the room, as they say in the big book. And it was like, "Look, Mom, look, the wind stopped blowing." But when my wind stopped blowing, I had to look at my job, and I wasn't happy with what I saw. And I got very, got myself into a very big depression, and then had to get some outside help along with this program and come out of it. But for today, I'm grateful. For the first time in 30 years in this program, I'm successfully, sponsoring two other people that are very serious about the program. And I'm also in DA Howe with finances and in a group called, and another group for anxiety and depression and lead meetings. And, it's a wonderful life. And it's very hard work, but you're hard. It's a lot harder to be, pushing towards death, and to be that kind of weight at my kind of height. So I'm grateful you're all here, and thank you so much for my life. Okay.
Thank you, Elise. And next we have Devori S. And Devori, if you could tell us where you're from, please.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Hi, good morning. It's Devori S., like Frank, from New York. Thank you to everyone on the line, and thank you for everyone who's doing service. The line that stood out to me was, "This is a baffling feature of alcoholism as we know it, this utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish." And what comes to mind when I read that line is, I have such a vivid and painful memory of the week before my wedding, sitting in my nutritionist's office, whichever one I was currently trying at the time, and literally crying, why can't I stop? And it was a week to my wedding, and I just couldn't stop. And then I remember the night before my wedding eating some leftover cake from a party that my friends had thrown for me that weekend, and other foods. And I remember thinking to myself, "Are you crazy? You're getting married tomorrow." And, there's a lot of women on the line. And for any girl, the climax of her life and, that ultimate picture of that she's going to be beautiful and perfect on her wedding day, I was not getting there. And it was so painful that no matter, even though it was the most important and a day of my life, that I still could not stop. And today, thank God, I have these meetings, and there's a program, and there's hope, and there's light, and we don't have to live with that pain anymore. And I'm just so grateful for everybody on the line and for Vision. And what I especially love is the focus on recovery and living life on a different plane. Not just about, the focus is not, so even though I say it's a very major but very minor detail, the food, it's really, once the food is down, it's so much more. And just so grateful for today and for this program. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Devori F. from New York. And for those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later this morning, just to let you know where we are, we're continuing our study in the big book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 34, reading the second paragraph, for those who are unable to drink moderately, and we're sharing on that one paragraph only. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Leah S.
Pat H.
Jane S.
Mary C.
Cinda B. from Pennsylvania.
Anayeta R. from Texas.
Okay, let me tell you who I've heard, please. I heard Leah S. I heard Pat. I heard Jane S., Mary C., and somebody P. I didn't quite get that, and Hanayeta R. Who was the person with the last initial P, please?
It was B, Cinda B. from Pennsylvania.
Is that Cinda, C-B-A?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, great. Here's our lineup. Let's go. We've got Leah S., Pat, Jane S., Mary C., Cinda B., and Hadayeta R. And please remember to tell us where you're calling from. Good morning, Leah. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. I'm so grateful to be on the meeting today and to be reading this paragraph. I'm just going to go to the first sentence. I'm calling you from upstate New York. For those of who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. That's an impossible question for me when I came in in 2013 to Vision. It was just impossible. And then I heard what was the magic words, and those were, you got that intensity of craving. You got the doctor's opinion. You got everybody in this book admitting to that kind of craving that is almost impossible. How do you really stay stopped? Well, just don't fight that craving. That intensity, turn it over to that muscle of the third step, and just reverse it that way and try it to the best of your ability and see if that works. And nobody knows how to tell you what to do and how to do it, but every time you get that craving, in order to stay stopped, ask your higher power to help you. And it just started working. And it started working for one meal. And it started working for one day. And thank you, God, it's working for 11 years. But much, much more than that has happened through these miraculous 12 steps. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. And next up is Pat. Pat, if you could tell us your last initial and where you're calling from, please. Press star 1 to unmute, Pat.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, sorry. My name is Pat H. I'm from Florida and currently in beautiful central New York. So the line that struck out to me is, yet we found it impossible. It was impossible for me to stop on my own. Was binging constantly and could not put down the food. And it really pissed me off that I could not put down the food myself. I had no idea what this was called or why. I thought I was the only person in the world who had this problem and thought I was crazy. It was impossible for me to stop on my own, but it is possible with the help of my higher power, who I call God. I only have to ask. It's impossible for me to make people do what I want them to do. It's impossible for me to run my life the way I want to run it. But with the help of my higher power, I have peace, I have acceptance, I have compassion, I have neutrality around my food and around people in my life. It just strikes me so genius that in the traditions, it says the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. That's all we need, just to want to stop eating compulsively. And I'm so grateful that at the age of 61, 11 years ago, I heard that message. I was sent to OA from someone who said, you know, maybe you ought to try that. Walked in the room with a chip on my shoulder, like, this isn't going to work for me, and who are these crazy people? And I heard my story. Oh, my God. I heard people telling me exactly what I had been doing, and yet they were happy, joyous, and free. They were normal weight. They were sane people. They were lovely people that I immediately bonded with, and I'm so grateful for that. So today I only know three things: that I am sick, I cannot do this alone, and I need help, and I get that help from my higher power. And I'm so grateful for this program. Thank you, everyone who does service, and I will pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Pat H. from Florida. Now we have Jane S., followed by Mary C. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning. My name is Jane S., and I am from New Hampshire. And thank you for your service, and thank you for everyone's shares. And I have so much stuff going around in my head. I'm just going to ask you, God, to please help me share what you want me to share. I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be back once again to Vision, this amazing fellowship. You've all taught me so much over the years. And what's really, really brought me back this time is a bottom that I really didn't think that I was ever going to get to, but it's the desperation of the spiritual malady. And I've been sober from my alcoholism and my drug addiction and my cigarette smoking and all of that for over 15 years. And I thought that I could use that and it would cross over and those credits would transfer and I could do that. And I've been trying and trying and trying and it just doesn't work. And God gave me a little glimpse and a taste a few years ago. And the honor of getting some neutrality for several months and working through the steps with a beautiful sponsor who brought me closer to God. But I gave that gift back because I was not continuing to do the work. And that's what I hear here. I need to continue to do the work. So I came back just a little over a month ago, broken again, sober. And, you know, everybody says, oh, if you put your head on your pillow and you're sober at night, then all is well. Well, it's not if the food is screaming in my head. And the food was loud because I was not walking my talk and I was not, had not completed my steps. I wasn't living in step 10, 11, and 12. So here I am back. I realize that I am totally powerless and God has once again given me the gift of neutrality and the willingness to be in these steps and to be honest and open and not fearful to walk through. When I just finished my fear inventory this morning, I get to meet with my sponsor in a little bit and go on to the next assignment. And I'm happy, joyous, and free today. And that's just because of this fellowship. It's because of the all that I hear and the messages that you all carry and that we share with each other that are coming from God. And I don't know. I could keep talking forever. I'm just so grateful. So I'm just going to end with that and pass. And thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jane S. from New Hampshire. Next up is Mary C., followed by Cinda B. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. And I need to apologize. I said Mary. That's my birth name. But on the meetings, I'm Maisie. I volunteered to change my name one time when I was on a meeting, phone meeting, that two people had the same name. So it is Maisie C. from Massachusetts. Grateful, believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And, this paragraph is powerful to me. You know, I could not stop. I could not stop. Once I picked up that first bad food, I was off and running. And I always considered myself spiritual. I thought was a great connection with God, but realized when I got abstinent this time, how much I was missing out, how much I hadn't had the connection with him that I longed for. I started coming here the last of April and the last day, and I got abstinent May 1st. And I tell you, my life has done a complete flip-flop. I'm sure all of you, most of you know that feeling. But I did find it impossible, no matter what I did, no matter what I tried. Okay, I'll try this, I'll try that. I was bouncing all over the place. All right, I'll go to this program, I'll go to that program. Nothing worked, nothing at all. I got to tell you, I've been to many, many meetings, live and phone, Zoom, whatever. This is the most powerful meeting I tell everybody, I just cannot believe it. I've never met such a beautiful group of spiritual, fit, healthy individuals. You are my family. I feel so blessed to be a part of this group and to feel what I feel coming here every single morning. I haven't missed a day. One day I did, and I did listen to the callback. I've never done that before, gone to a callback, but I knew I had to go to that. I wanted to go to that, you know. In the last sentence, this utterly inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. I wished and wished and prayed and asked God, please help me. I can't do this on my own. And I was willing, but I was wanting to hold on to one. Somebody's unmuted. There's a lot of staticky stuff. Thank you. I just wanted to hold on to one little part of my own will. I realize now I was not willing to give it all, surrender all. And that's what I had to do, surrender all. I'm so grateful. I have a loving sponsor that is soft and sweet and kind and godly. She's perfect for me. And that God put her there for me, and I know that. And God put me here in this phone meeting with Vision for you, because he knew that this is where I'd find recovery, at one day at a time. And I worked my program
time,
the best
please.
Of my ability. Thank you so much. I worked my program to the best of my ability. With that, I pass. Thank you so much. You all have a blessed day.
Thank you, Maisie C. from Massachusetts. And now we have Cinda B. Good morning, Cinda.
Good morning. Grateful for you guys and grateful to be here. I wanted to share something that I experienced last weekend that relates to this paragraph. I went down this street, and it was, and what I viewed, and I hadn't seen this for a long time, was the house that I was first, when I first got married, the first 10 years of my life was in this little house, which I was pretty grateful for at the time. And I thought about many things. I thought about my food addiction that I was into at that time. I thought about another person's addiction that was very real at that time. I also thought about my character defects, which were like chains around my behavior and my thoughts. And then I kept looking at that house, and I thought about how God was with me in those days. I thought about how real he was, because I was close to God. I just could not connect the two parts, you know, the negative, positive. But anyway, I thought about how real he was and how he got me through those difficulties and how he got me through those days. And I guess what I want to say the most is that I didn't, you know, what he was really doing, what I realized that he was doing was he was preparing me to embrace the 12 steps, okay? Because I didn't know, it wasn't till I moved out of there, till I moved a couple hours away, that I even ever heard of OA, that I even ever heard of Al-Anon, you know? I didn't know about those. Even though they were there, I had never heard about them. And so when I did hear about them, when I did start to participate in OA, I was ready. I was ready for change. I was ready for the 12 steps. I knew, I recognized that was my answer right away. So it kind of connected difficulties with, you know, with God in my life and how all of that, you know, all of the difficulties, the God, you know, it was all there for a reason. And how, you know, I mean, God is still with me today. Still have difficulties. And, you know, he's still very real. But I am grateful for the 12 steps because, you know, the power is there today. And, you know, I'm not lonely anymore.
Time, please, Cindy. And can you tell us where you're calling from, please?
Yeah, I'm from Pennsylvania. Cindy B. from Pennsylvania. And I pass.
Thank you very much. And Hanayetta R., you're going to be our last share. Please go ahead, Hanayetta.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I forget your name, but thank you for your service. Thank you, everyone, for their shares. Excuse me. My name is Hanayetta from Texas. Hanayetta R. from Texas. And actually, 8 months ago today, I got abstinent again. I've been in program since 1981, several decades, many decades, and it was different. I didn't swear off. I didn't make any proclamations of, I'll never do it again. It was much more subtle. It was much more, I'm just ready. God, I opened my hands and just said, God, just take me because I can't do it alone. And I've proven that over and over. I need your help, and I'm willing for you to just take me and hold me and carry me, like it says in the footsteps of the band, you know, just carry me because I need you, and which is so different than trying to wear off or, you know, try to think that maybe I could eat like another normal person or, you know, just whatever it says in the last couple of paragraphs. You know, it wasn't, I'm ceasing this forever. I didn't say those things. One day at a time, every day I get up and I say I'm powerless over my alcoholic foods. And I'm also powerless over my husband and the weather and, you know, and people around me. I'm powerless over everything. And my life is unknown if I don't work these steps and trust in God. And so I know without a doubt, you know, I have an utterly inability to leave food alone if I don't work these steps. And I'm so grateful for my first sponsor who was amazing and wonderful and got me through the fifth step. And then I started with another sponsor for a couple of weeks. But then I got this other sponsor that I have today who we started again with step four, which I thought was a good idea, and learned so much more. I mean, I learned so much and then more. I didn't think I could learn anymore. And today, I just finished 6 and 7, and I think, I don't know, I'm meeting with my sponsor in a little while, but if I have to do more on 6 and 7, then I welcome it. Whatever it takes for me to be in a fit spiritual condition. And to me, this is all such a miracle that at 73, that I can just turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him to be loving and kind and wonderful. And he's also my judge. And thank you so much. So don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Y'all have a blessed day. I love y'all. Thanks.
Thank you, Hannah Yetta R. from Texas. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to our wonderful team Wednesday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for this morning's meeting, that's Wednesday, July the 24th, 7 a.m., is 21600. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Larry Kay, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I'll do that, Lynn. Hey, feel free to chime in. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until.